But dramatic news is often the thing you don't forget. So when something big happens in your life, you can often remember the circumstances around it. You can probably remember where you were when Princess Diana died, when you heard the news. You can probably remember where you were when the Twin Towers started to fall. Perhaps you can remember how your husband or maybe your wife proposed to you. You can probably remember the feeling, the place you were, weird little details about that time. It's like a snapshot of the event, isn't it? Or perhaps if you've ever had bad news, time can seem to just slow down. And you can remember when you received that bad news, and it's just there in your head, like a picture. Mary had just received some life-changing news. She was going to become a mum. But she wasn't even married yet. This was a complete and utter disaster. Her life plans, her dreams are all gone, just like that. But actually, God had something far bigger for her to do. For although her life would forever be changed, she would bear the Son who would change the world forever. See, the events of the angel appearing to her and announcing to her that her Son would be called the Son of the Most High, that he would reign forever, those events would be stamped into her mind like a snapshot of time that she would never forget. This wasn't just life-changing news. This was eternity-changing news. Now, in that most remarkable of encounters, the angel had also told her about another miracle, not on the same scale as the virgin birth, but nevertheless still a miracle. You see, her old, wrinkly, white-haired cousin, Elizabeth, was pregnant too. And that was just sort of tacked on there at the end of verse 36. She who couldn't conceive, who's ancient, is now 6 months pregnant. I'm emphasizing the oldness just so you don't miss the miracle. And then after the angel had left, you have to wonder what Mary did. You know, she just had this great big news. What do you do after you've just spoken to an angel and realize everything's going to change? Did she go back to washing the clothes? Did she go back to picking up her broom and sweeping the floor? Did she go down to see if Mum wanted help cooking the dinner? How do you carry on with life after you've just heard something so big? How do you deal with this news? Imagine trying to sleep after you've heard this. It would be going round and round in your head, wouldn't it? And how is she going to break the news to her family? Because let's face it, they're not going to believe her, are they? You're what? You're pregnant? Who is he? I bet it's that Joseph, isn't it? Well, you wait till I catch that Joseph. I'm going to have words with him. No, an angel. An angel from the Lord came and told me it's from God. Oh, an angel. That's convenient, isn't it? Do you really expect us to believe that? I'm speculating there, but no doubt Mary had all kinds of emotions and concerns and thoughts going through her head. What am I going to say? Who's going to believe me? And then she remembers the angel had said something about her cousin Liz. She's pregnant too. And so she takes her cue from the angel, verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. Did you notice? She hurried. She didn't wait around too long. Elizabeth was already 6 months pregnant, according to verse 56. Mary stayed there for 3 months. So 6 months pregnant, 3 months she stayed there. Mary leaves. Elizabeth has the baby. So there's not a lot of room for Mary to delay after hearing this news. She kind of hears the news. She gets ready. She goes in a hurry. Why was there such a hurry? Well, think about it. Elizabeth is probably the only one who's actually going to believe her. the only one who knows what she's going through. So she packs her stuff and she travels it's around 80 miles apparently, to get to her cousin. And that leads us to our passage. And we're going to deal with our passage under three headings, each taking their cue from the blessings that Elizabeth announces in her song. And so our first point, first blessing is, blessed are you among women. When the phone rings, or the doorbell chimes, who it is will depend on your reaction, won't it? Sometimes you pick up the phone and it's a cold caller. Hi, we understand you've been involved in a recent car accident that wasn't your fault. And you want to scream down the phone, no, go away, I don't care, I haven't, go, just leave me alone, don't you? And that's one reaction there. But other times, on the end of the phone, it might be a good friend, or your dear wife, or your mum. And of course, that's sure to bring a smile to your face. I have to say that because my mum's here. So. But the different people we come across, they produce a different reaction in us. And when Mary walks through the door of Zechariah's house and she calls out her greeting, the response, literally in Elizabeth, is remarkable. Her baby leaps. Her baby leaps, and we'll come back to that in a bit. But also, the Holy Spirit fills Elizabeth at this time when she hears that greeting. The Holy Spirit fills Elizabeth. This old pregnant woman suddenly becomes an old pregnant prophetic woman. She speaks words of truth that have been supernaturally revealed to her. Truth she wouldn't have known otherwise. And just remember, Zechariah is still mute at this time because of his unbelief. But Elizabeth certainly fills the vacuum left by him, doesn't she? In a loud voice, it's like a shout, she proclaims. She exclaims, not, what are you doing here, you naughty teenage girl? How can you dare to show your face here, you know, sleeping around when you're not married? That's not what she says. She says, no. She says, blessed are you among women. Apparently, that's a superlative for, like, out of all the women that are here, you are the one who is blessed. Remember, Elizabeth had her own exciting news to tell. She could have just started with that. Guess what, Mary? I'm pregnant. Oh, who would have thought it? But no, she's so humble. Blessed are you among women. Now, the term blessed here means more than just happy. It is acknowledging that God's favor rests on her. It is acknowledging that God is delighting in her. God delights in you, Mary. His favor is upon you. You are blessed, Mary. And then in verse 43, she says, why am I? Why am I so favored that you, the mother of my Lord, should come to me? She could have been so caught up in her own little miracle that she wasn't interested in Mary and what was going on in her life. But no, the presence of Mary and of the baby in Mary's womb brings about this shifting of perspectives. It's not all about Elizabeth. It's not all about what's happening in her life. As precious and as wonderful as that was, the Spirit reveals to her what is happening. And where it's at, the action is in Mary. That's where it is. It's great what's happened to her, but it's where Mary is, where Jesus is. That's where the action is. There's no resentment. There's no jealousy. There's just a humble delight in what the Lord is doing for Mary. I wonder if we are humble enough to give thanks for what the Lord is doing in other people. You see, when you see the Lord working in other people, when he uses them, when he gifts them, when they start to exercise their gifts, you can start to resent that, can't you? You say, well, what about me? But she sees the Lord is working there in Mary. The Lord is blessing Mary's favor rests upon Mary, and she's humbled as she's delighted. She's praising. Perhaps when we see other people's ministries start to flourish, it's easy to have the wrong approach, the wrong reaction. Elizabeth, she says, blessed are you among all women. Blessed is the child you will bear, and blessed is she who believed the promise of God. Remember, she's booming this out in a loud voice. You've got a feel for Zechariah at this time, haven't you? As he hears, blessed are you who believe the promises of God. And he's probably thinking in his head, yeah, I wish I would have believed it. And in the presence of Mary, in the presence of this embryonic Jesus, Elizabeth is humbled. She's excited. She blesses Mary for the good God has shown her. None of us will know how Mary felt, will we? We won't know what it was like to carry baby Jesus. No doubt the mums here can imagine to a certain degree. But actually, for those who've put their faith in Jesus, who believe in him, who trust in him, he does live in us, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Not physically, but spiritually. Believer, you have the Spirit of Jesus living in you. That's how the Father and the Son dwell in us, by the indwelling of the Spirit. I find that incredibly humbling. 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are a temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? By the way, when we speak of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, they're synonymous. Check out Acts 16:6-7 at your leisure. But what a privilege, what a blessing. And surely, he who lives in us should make a difference to us, shouldn't he? He should direct our ways. He should lead us into holiness, open our minds to spiritual truth, produce a character that is in keeping with him himself, with Christ. And we should be being refined and becoming more like Jesus. People should see there is something different about people who have the Holy Spirit living in them. We should be a blessing to others. I certainly hope we're not the kind of people that they answer the phone to us and think, oh no, not them. Those in Christ are to be a blessing to those we come into contact with, not least because we bring the Saviour near to people by our words, by our actions, by our deeds, by the fact of our presence. I wonder if you bring Jesus near to people when you come close. Mary received a unique blessing, and she was a blessing to Elizabeth by taking Jesus into her presence, and we too have received a blessing. And we are called to take the presence and the message of Jesus into the world. So just think about this tomorrow when you go to work. You are taking the Spirit of Jesus into that place. It might be a godless place, but you go there, you're taking the Spirit of Jesus into that place. You go into your unbelieving home, you're the only believer, you're taking the Spirit of Jesus into that place. As you walk down the street, wherever you go, whatever you do, you're taking the Spirit of Jesus with you. That's an encouraging thought, perhaps a sobering thought as well. Whatever you're doing, the Lord is right there with you. Well, our second blessing that Elizabeth prophetically bellows out is halfway through verse 42. And blessed is the child you will bear. So let's look at that in our second point. When a couple get pregnant, there's always those first 12 or so weeks when you don't really tell people. And then you start to break the news. And it's exciting to break the news. You want to choose your moment and you want to enjoy telling people the good news. A little bit of a funny story. I broke the news that we were expecting our second child to my old pastor. I did it whilst we were in the urinals together. It was probably not the best of places. And as I was telling him, he said, Matt, that's great. And I would shake your hand, but I probably should have chosen a better moment. Anyway, Mary doesn't get the chance to choose her moment or announce her baby. Elizabeth kind of steals her thunder a bit. Verse 42, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. How did she know that? There was no email, there was no texting, there was no picture of a baby scan on Facebook, was there? Mary wouldn't have been showing yet. So surely this is why Luke clearly states that Elizabeth has been filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, it's the Holy Spirit who reveals to Elizabeth what's going on. He reveals Jesus to Elizabeth. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He reveals Jesus to us. But it's not, the Holy Spirit isn't the only person who reveals Jesus and alerts Elizabeth. Someone else does reveal this by jumping for joy in her womb. So who's doing somersaults in her belly? It's none other than John the Baptist. What's John the Baptist's future job? Well, we were told back in verse 17, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. And he goes on to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So John the Baptist is starting his work early. He hasn't even been born yet, and he's already preparing the way for the Lord by alerting his mum to the fact that Jesus is in the house. By the way, don't ever think you can't possibly point people to Jesus. Don't ever think you are too young to make Jesus known or haven't got the gifts or the abilities. If John the Baptist can do it from the womb, what's our excuse? John the Baptist, he was the last of the Old Testament prophets. He came in the spirit of Elijah, and Jesus is the Messiah to whom all the other Old Testament prophets pointed to. He is the bringer of the new covenant, the better covenant. And so when the old and the new come together, it's dynamite. And baby John the Baptist jumps for joy. Did you notice that? He jumps For joy. He's only 6 months old, and that's not even 6 months out of the belly. It's 6 months of being growing there, and he's jumping for joy at the approach of the only just conceived Jesus. How could a 6 month old baby in the womb possibly have any idea about Jesus? How could this 6 month old fetus experience joy at anything, let alone at Jesus, who we can't even see? We'll backtrack to the end of verse 15. And he, that's John the Baptist, will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. That's how, like his mum, John the Baptist had been filled with the Holy Spirit. It was the Spirit who enabled John to understand and to respond in joy, and so to alert his mum. You see, the work of the Spirit goes hand in hand with our work and our calling. We fulfill our calling as we bear witness to Jesus. And as we do that, it's the Holy Spirit who enables us, who equips us, who fills us. I think if we remember that, it will affect our prayer life, won't it? It will affect our humility. Without Jesus, without his Spirit, we can do nothing. We need the power of the Holy Spirit if we are to witness and point to Jesus. I need to take a small digression here. Notice before John the Baptist was born, he could experience the Holy Spirit. He could experience joy. He could know something of God. I hope that's a real comfort to some here. Sadly, for all kinds of reasons, not all babies make it. And when the unthinkable happens, we're left with all kinds of questions, aren't we? What happened? Are they saved? Are they in heaven? How can we know? We need to be careful not to push this too far, but it seems clear to me that God, in all his greatness, in all his power, in all his immensity, the holy living one in heaven is so great that he can reveal himself even to an unborn baby like John the Baptist. He can reveal himself in such a way that that baby can respond. And whilst it is true that no one can enter heaven and be made right with God except by trusting what Jesus has done on the cross, it is also true that the Holy Spirit can in some simple way make John the Baptist's unborn heart aware and responsive to Jesus. And if that is the case, then that same Holy Spirit can reveal Jesus to whomever he wants, no matter how old, no matter how young, no matter how clever or how not clever they are. Doesn't matter if they're in the room or out. Doesn't matter if they have severe learning difficulties or not. God is so great that no one is beyond his salvation. God is just. He will do what is right in all and in every situation. And just as it's a miracle when the Holy Spirit opens your eyes and my eyes, because I was spiritually dead, it's a miracle. So the Holy Spirit can open the eyes of an unborn baby or the severely mentally impaired person too. There's nothing too hard for our God. Well, before we move on to our last point, let me just show you what else the Holy Spirit revealed to Elizabeth about Jesus. In verse 43, she refers to Mary's only just conceived baby as my Lord. That's phenomenal, isn't it? My Lord. Now, it's true that the Greek term, translated as Lord, it can be just a polite way of addressing people. So you can translate that word as sir or master. But forgive me for saying, but I don't think you refer to your unborn baby or someone else's as sir or master, do you? It's not the usual way to do. So it seems that she's picking up a language, Old Testament language, probably from Psalm 110, verse 1, where the Lord God, Yahweh, talks to the Messiah as Lord. So it seems that she's referring to Mary's unborn baby with a reference to the Messiah, Lord, my Lord. And if you combine that with what the angel has already revealed to Zechariah, that John the Baptist, her baby, would prepare the way for the Lord, it's highly likely that Elizabeth understands Jesus to be the Messiah. And then look at what she says in verse 45. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. The Lord. She calls him the Lord. It's exactly the same word, the Lord, but this time it's applied to the great God who sent Gabriel to reveal the truth, the messages, the promises. So precisely how deep her understanding of who Jesus is, it's hard to be sure, but all the right ingredients are there. He is the Messiah. He's also somehow connected to the Lord who made the promises and who told us about my baby and Mary's baby. And so he's at the same time, he is the Lord in the belly. He's the Lord who sent the angel to tell us about the Lord in the belly. Now, I don't think she had a fully formed understanding of the Trinity, but it's amazing how much she does seem to understand, isn't it? This baby is the Lord, the promised one, and the one who promised him is the Lord. No wonder her unborn baby is jumping for joy at this. No wonder Elizabeth is excited and humbled all at the same time. And this Christmas, I wonder who you see Jesus as. At a point in history, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born of a virgin. He grew up and he died and he rose again. And he is still the Lord. I wonder if you recognize who he is. He is the Lord. He's not just a baby in a manger. He is the Lord. He is the master. He is the ruler. He is king. He is who we celebrate at Christmas time, isn't he? Have you recognized who Jesus is? He is the Lord of Lords. Well, that leads us on to our final blessed point this evening. Elizabeth says in verse 45, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her. And that's our final point. Blessed is she who has believed. Here's some interesting facts for you. The 100 folds in a chef's hat are said to represent the 100 ways to cook an egg. Did you know that? You do now. Here's another interesting fact for you. Some cats are allergic to humans. Fascinating. Here's one that really surprised me. Queen Elizabeth II, so our queen, is a trained mechanic. Can you believe that? I was very surprised to hear that. Last one. In Japan, letting a sumo wrestler make your baby cry is considered good luck. Good job we didn't have a sumo wrestler here for Elijah's dedication this morning. Now, those facts, they are fascinating, but they're not going to change our lives, are they? Unless your car breaks down whilst you're visiting the Queen, in which case that would be handy. But the fact of Jesus isn't meant to be something we just find fascinating or interesting. So consider Mary. She just had this great revelation from the angel concerning Jesus. What was her response to Jesus? It wasn't just, well, that's good to know. In verse 38, she says, may your word be fulfilled. That's her response. She accepted what the angel said. She submitted herself to it. She said, may it be to me as you've said. And then after submitting herself to God's word, that's closely followed by action. She goes to investigate whether what the angel has said is true. What's happened to Elizabeth then? I'm going to go and see. I need to see this for myself. She goes to see. She takes action. She's acted upon what she's been told. And when we meet Jesus, it should change our lives. It should produce not just a mental assent, but action. Mary believed God and trusted his word, and inspired by the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth confirms it. Verse 45, blessed is she who has believed the Lord. It's not blessed is she who does not believe, or blessed is she who thinks this church stuff is interesting, or blessed are those who go to church, or blessed are those who are just nice people, blessed are those who are religious people. It's none of them things, is it? No, it's blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. That is the pathway to blessing. It starts by hearing the word of God, by submitting yourself to the word of God, by responding to the word of God. That's what believing means. It's not just a mental assent. It's hearing, it's submitting, it's responding, it's building your life upon the word of God. That's what believing is. Mary's whole life was changed by God's word, by God's promises to her. I wonder how you respond to God's word tonight. Is it just, oh, well, that was fascinating. I didn't know that bit. That was a new thing. Or are you saying, well, I need to submit myself to this. I need to build my life upon God's word, what I've just heard. Do you believe God? Do you believe his promises to you? Are you building your life upon God's words? So Mary, she believed. There was another one who believed too. In verse 44, as soon as Elizabeth's unborn baby heard Mary's greeting, he leapt for joy. Again, this is the right response for those who understand who Jesus is and what he's come to do. You don't have to have a theology degree. You don't have to know the ins and outs of everything to do with every piece of doctrine. You need to know Jesus is the God-man. He is the promised Messiah. He's the one who came and died to save me and give me peace with God. That's what you need to know. That's the fact that we celebrate at Christmas. That's why it's the season of joy, because we have a Savior. Yeah. He is the God-man, and he is the one we need to know. He is the one we need to come near to. That should make us feel something. Should make us feel something when we talk about Jesus. We have a Savior that even little babies, even little children can get excited about. How about you? Does he excite you?
Yeah.
Thank you. He is worth getting excited about. So Mary believed. This unborn baby seems to believe. And lastly, Elizabeth, she believes too. Through the prompting of her son, for the feeling of the Holy Spirit, she is able to know how much precisely, I don't know. But she knows enough to be able to call Jesus in verse 43, my Lord. My Lord. Did you notice it's my Lord, not just the Lord or a Lord, it's personal, it's my Lord. The Lord who'd given her a child in her old age, the Lord who'd made promises to Mary is my Lord. It's not enough just to believe that he existed. It's not enough to just say a little prayer at one point in your life or to come to church. We must believe in who he is. We must place our trust in him, my Lord. We must ask him to be my Savior and my Lord. Not just the Lord, personal. It's got to be personal. So this Christmas, who is Jesus to you? Just a baby in a traditional heartwarming story? Or can you say, he is my Lord and my Savior? If he is, then you have got something worth jumping for joy about.
Amen.
Okay.